Question from Seema Saraogi Mataji. If Parshuram was an empowered avatar, why is he counted in Dashavatar and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being Krishna himself is not counted among the Dashavatar? Answer. Lord Parshuram is not necessarily always an empowered avatar. There are different yugas, different kalpas, and sometimes he can manifest himself as directly the Supreme Lord himself. So, the Shavatar Stotra talks about 10. The Shavatar Stotra is composed by Jayadeva Goswami and occurs at the start of his devotional classic Gita Govinda. Similarly, there are references to Dashavatar in the Puranas also. So in general, whenever a listing of the avataras is given in the scriptures, whenever the Lord has performed any extraordinary feat, at that time, whether it is performed directly by him or by a representative of him who has been empowered by the Lord, the concept of the avatar is such that there is a chronological description, there is a listing of avataras. In that time, the philosophical levels involving the analysis of who is exactly what level of avatar is usually not discussed over there. If you look at the Srimad Bhagavatam itself, the Srimad Bhagavatam gives a list of avataras at several places. In the third chapter of the first canto, it is entitled Krishna is the Source of All Incarnations. There is a list of many avatars. And while describing those avatars, there is a description of both kinds of avatars. Similarly, in the second canto, the seventh chapter, Scheduled Incarnations with specific functions is described. So even at that time also, the incarnations are described in a mixed way. When the particular listing of incarnations is given, it is given more from a functional point of view. It is not from an ontological point of view. Functional point of view means that, okay, this avatar comes at this point and does this particular activity. So ontological point of view means that in reality, in existence, what is the level of that particular avatar? So, when the scriptures are giving certain description, those descriptions have a context, and that context determines the purpose of that description. So, if we look at the Srimad Bhagavatam overall, we will find that it is very clear by the time we come to the 10th canto, not just by the number of chapters that are devoted to Krishna. Say there are 90 chapters devoted just to the pastimes of Krishna out of a total of 335 chapters. No other incarnation has anywhere number of these kind of past, this number of pastimes. So it's very clear that not just from the sheer number of chapters, but also from the overall flow of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that Krishna is revealed to be the highest, as is told in this particular chapter also in 1.3 in the first canto. But when the listing of the avatars is given, and when Shukadeva Goswami is glorifying Narasimha Dev, or he is glorifying Shukara, Varaha Dev, or glorifying Vamana Dev, he is not going to, in one sense, interfere with the rasa of that glorification by telling, oh, actually, yes, I am glorifying Vamandev, but he is not supreme, Krishna is supreme. You should remember that. Actually, that sort of differentiation is unnecessary. Because when the narrations are going on, it is for the sake of experiencing rasa. So when the tattva is being described, it will be systematically analyzed, and at that time it will become very clear. At this avatar is at this particular level, and this avatar is at that particular level. So now, the avatara systematic analysis is not necessarily given that this avatar is of this level. It is not necessarily given when a listing of avatars is being explained. And the listing is being done, at that time the primary purpose is to describe their prominent function. So, if we want to understand the analytical position of the avatars, then we have to look elsewhere where the focus is on tattva. So, Srila Rupa Goswami has extensively researched the Puranas, and on the basis of that research of the Puranas, he has compiled a book called the Laghu Bhagavatamrita. And the Laghu Bhagavatamrita is practically a book of avatar science. That means it describes systematically classifying the various kinds of avatars and explaining this avatar is at this level, this avatar is at this level. And he of course gives scriptural quotes for all that. But the important point is that he is devoting that book not for Leela Katha over there, not for describing the pastimes, but analyzing the ontological levels. So when that is the focus, then the various levels will be talked about. So the Dashavataras are focused on because they have done especially extraordinary things. And that's why there may be a special listing of the Dashavataras, like in Jayadeva Goswami's list or somewhere else, wherever it might be, in some of the Puranas. But the important point is that that is more from the functional point of view, what all extraordinary activities they have done. The selection of the Dashavataras as a listing is not necessarily based on any specific analysis of their ontological levels. So, regarding the second part of the question, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a Channa avatar. Channa kalavya dabhavas triyugotha sattvam. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 9th chapter, where Prahlad Maharaj is offering prayers to Narasimhadev, at that time he describes that you come in three yugas and that's why you are called as Triyugi. But immediately he clarifies that that doesn't mean that you don't come in the other yuga. In the Kali Yuga you come as Channaha Kalau Yadabhavas Triyugotha Sattvam. So you are called Triyugi, you are called, said that, it is said that you come only in three yugas, that's how you get the name Triyugi. But he is clarifying that there is not the actual understanding of Triyugi. He said the understanding of Triyugi is that you come in Kalau, in Kali Yuga, as a Channa avatar. So, hidden incarnation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's incarnation is very special in the sense that he is God but is not claiming to be God. He is not proclaiming himself to be God, and rather he is coming in Kali Yuga to teach people how to worship the Supreme Lord. So, because he is coming for that specific purpose, so prominently he assumes the role of a devotee. Only there are certainly a number of occasions where he does display his divinity, especially among his intimate associates. And there are scriptural references also. There is a full Chaitanya Upanishad, which is a part of the Shruti, the Vedas. And on the side itself, there are some 24 references which are given from various sources which talk about how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's divinity is mentioned in the scriptures. But it is not explicitly proclaimed directly, because his purpose was not so much to proclaim his divinity as to get people to practice devotional service, and not just instruct them to practice devotional service, but to instruct by example, to himself exemplify devotional service. So therefore, because of this special function that he is performing, that he is acting as a devotee, and is acting as a devotee for all of eternity, in the sense that it is not just a function that he assumes in this world. Even in the spiritual world, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is eternally practicing devotional service. So, because that is his both manifested role in the material world and eternal role in the spiritual world, where in Navadvip he is actually eternally doing kirtan and relishing the names of Krishna and the remembrance of Krishna. So he is God who is eternally in the role of a devotee of the Lord. So because of this, his divinity is not explicitly mentioned in the scriptures. And that's why in the Dashavatar Stotra, which is an extremely abbreviated list of incarnations, his name doesn't come. Dashavatar is by no means an exhaustive list. In fact, the Srimad Bhagavatam itself gives many more avatars. For example, the first canto, third chapter, it gives around 30 avatars. And there itself it says the number of incarnations is innumerable. It is as numerous as the waves in an ocean. So therefore, the Dashavatara is a list which has importance both because of its scriptural and traditional popularity, but that doesn't mean that that is either an exhaustive list, or nor does it necessarily mean that it is a list that is indicative of the most important incarnations in terms of their ontological status in the spiritual world. It is a list of 10 manifesting of the Lord who were especially prominent in the kind of roles that they played in this world. Thank you.